Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, be multiplied upon all of us here this time of the Easter season. We pray. Heavenly Father, open our minds and hearts to better hear your word so that we know, in fact, who we are. We are sheep, not feeble, not stupid, but followers of the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ. Let us hear his word as he proclaims it always to us through his word and the sacrament this day. In his holy name we pray. Amen. We seem to have our seasons mixed up when they picked the gospel lesson for today, because in the very first verse of the gospel lesson it talked about winter. Maybe that's why we have so many quilts here, just in case. You can never, ever predict the weather in this state. I know. I was born here 76 years ago. I know what weather's like. Okay. A lot of things are going on today. A lot of things. We're talking about the Lamb of God. We're talking about Paul's wonder what he's going to face when he goes to Jerusalem. Will he be put to death or not? Because isn't that the city where he was standing very much to watch one of the first martyrs before his very eyes, that he supervised death of Stephen in chapter 7 of Acts, where Stephen looked to heaven and said, "Oh Jesus, receive my soul. I see the glories in heaven." Saul was enraged. He went on a trip to collect more of these enemies of the Mosaic Covenant and the Pharisaic laws that these people seem to be breaking all the time. And he would go after them forever. But Jesus stood in the way on the road to Damascus, making Paul, ironically, blind. And then within a matter of days, he received from Ananias, although Ananias must have been very reluctant, "I don't want to do that. I don't want to see that man. He hates us. He'll kill me. You do it anyway. Brother Saul, the Lord has spoken to me," paraphrase, "may your eyes be opened, that you can continue to see Jesus as your Lord and your servant. You are his servant, his bond servant. And I will tell you through Ananias how much you will suffer on my behalf." The rest is history. That was the first lesson, what it was all about. Saul, now Paul the apostle, proclaiming the word. Pastors get in pulpit, they proclaim the word. I said to you that it said about Jesus, now in Jerusalem, proclaiming the word, it was the feast of dedication. It was winter. It's coming up in December. There's a day just before Christmas that symbolizes to this day the remembering of that event. It happened about almost 200 years before Jesus was with his disciples at the age of about 30, proclaiming the word of Almighty God and his relationship to the God as the Father's Son walking among the people, referring to himself there in that rather lengthy chapter of the book of St. John's Gospel, which talks at length in chapter 10 about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. It's broken in three chunks. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each time you get that, now it's Luke's turn. But you see, now we picked the first one was Matthew, the second was Mark. Now we're in the term of Luke's Gospel for the remainder of the church calendar year after we get through the time of Easter. And then for the rest of the year until December, until Advent, you're hearing all about Luke. So this is the third chunk of those verses ending on verse 30, the last third of that gospel, that finally says Jesus what he's been saying all these times, all these verses before. Chapter 10 is the Good Shepherd chapter. And Jesus is referred to in this case as the Lamb. How interesting then that we heard from the book of Revelation, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. You've heard that one. Yes. And then you heard about, this is the feast, honor and glory and wisdom and power and strength and might and blessings and glory be to you, the Lamb. And everybody's worshiping there in heaven, to the Lamb. And then in Revelation it says, the Lamb has become the what? The Shepherd. The Shepherd of what? The flock. Who are they? These are the flock. Look, they've already started coming in heaven, those early martyrs whose robes white have been washed white with red, red, red. Anybody who tries to wash anything that's stained in red is going to have trouble. I got a rug at home my father made about almost 40 years ago, and we still can't get that red stain out of it that one of the members of our family spilled something on. It's hard to get red out of white, isn't it? Unless the detergent is the blood of Jesus. That's what will cleanse your garment when we reach that point in heaven as members of the flock. And then we can sing the feast. This is the feast of victory. Victory what? Victory of the Lamb, who we remember from Scripture, and according to John's Gospel, and according to Jewish law and commandment, once a year a lamb is slaughtered. And then there is that Passover in remembrance of the lamb that was put there with the blood, red blood of the lamb on the portals, so that people could be saved from the evil of slavery in Egypt. That was the Mosaic covenant. The blood of a lamb. Moses was given at least some indication that the Holy Messiah would be coming, God's own anointed. It says that in Ezekiel chapter 34 about a good shepherd, as compared to a bad shepherd. And then he probably lists all those bad shepherds, many of them, in fact, every one of them, who were kings of the northern part of Israel. They didn't give a hoot about any of that. We want to be like the cultures of the day. We want to get enmeshed in culture. Sound familiar? We want to get all wrapped up in secular stuff. That's the real stuff. This others. Well, maybe I exaggerate, but not really. Because you see, God said in one of the commandments, you should only worship me and not other gods. False gods. We could count on many hands how many false gods are out there today that people worship. And you know what they are. You see it every day. You hear it every day. You can't avoid it. False gods everywhere. What is a false god? That which becomes first in your life. Even yourself. You could be a false god if you don't put God in Christ first. And then you're guilty of a form of idolatry. Ooh, are you sure? Yes. The scriptures are quite accurate about that. You've been seeing that video about Mormonism. Ism. This ism, that ism, this ism, that ism. There are a lot of isms out there. But there's only one Christianity. T like in a cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. The Good Shepherd. It was winter, the Feast of the Dedication. I'll try to make it as brief as I can on this one. Day's coming up December 22nd, I believe, on a Sunday, or sometime like that. You can check it out for yourselves. Back in 165 B.C., there was a terrible time in Israel's history because, you see, the north was already wiped out. They're all taken away. They're gone. Syria's taken over everything. Alexander that comes along, the Greek, takes over all the lands. He dies at a young age. He divides the kingdom of he captured into four parts. Two became very important. One to the north, the Seleucids in Syria, and one to the south, Ptolemy in Egypt. And they hated each other. The only buffer zone between them was what? Guess what? The Middle East. Israel. Israel was between Syria and Egypt. And they were going to fight over it to see which one would control the land called holy. Interesting, isn't it? Well, the north won under Seleucids. Another generation down the line, a couple hundred years later, about 165, a terrible thing happened. It was called the Abomination of Desolation. As far as the Jews were concerned, it was the end of the world. God was going to come and wipe everything out. it would all be over. The earth would end. How so? Because Antiochus, he called himself Epiphany. I'm the great light. Let's go to the temple in Jerusalem. And I will put my image there, my statue. And the people will be forced to worship me in their temple. And besides that, I want you to bring in an animal and put it on the altar and slaughter it there and let the blood run over the altar, every stone that's there. It was a pig. That was the greatest insult that could have happened in that temple 165 years before Jesus. A man by the name of Judas, who was a form of the priestly class, his grandfather was a Hasmonean, we called him Judas Maccabeus. That's his nickname. Judas the Hammer. Judas gets his forces together. They go in there and they take back the temple. By some miracle, they were able to overcome the evil enemy of those Syrians that had come to desecrate the temple. The story goes that they walked into that temple, the priestly class, the one in particular, Judas Maccabeus, along with the Maccabean's books that are in the intertestamental. Maybe you've heard of 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Maccabeus. Oh yes, the Maccabees, the great people. They're the Messiah. They're the ones who are going to kill the enemy and they're going to take it over. But wait, we have to cleanse the temple of that evil stuff. So they took all the stones that were desecrated by the blood of the pig and put them away and said, when the holy prophet comes, he will bless those stones so that we can put them back into place again. Say, what's that over there? Well, now look at that. There was a little flicker, a little light. Someone picked it up and said, it's still burning. After all of that, God must have stayed here in that light. We will remember from now on as we light the menorah at the time of Hanukkah. And remember how God saved us. If they would have just remembered about 200 years after that, that did one walking on the colonnade of Solomon, where there was the temple again reconstructed by Herod, called Herod's Temple. And Jesus is walking on the colonnade of Solomon, who built the first temple 1,000 years before Jesus. Oh, all this stuff. And it was the Jewish people who came and said to him at that time, if you are the Christ, the Son of God, tell us. That's a leading question. Because there's malice and intent on that question, if. You see, there's two groups of people going on here today. Do you remember when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey and people were waving, like we heard in heaven, palm branches? And they're saying, Hosanna, save us. That's what it means. Hosanna, save us. Save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And then some wag would say, see how those evil people, or I'm sorry, how those people became evil because it was the same crowd who later said, crucify him. Wrong. I have no absolute proof, but I got a good guess. It's not the same crowd. No, because the crowd that was crying out, Hosanna, save us, was the crowd that was threatened. You shut up if you know what's good for you, said the Roman soldiers. We don't want any insurrection here. We got enough trouble. Caesar's mad the way it is. We could take you like your forefathers and destroy you all. But since you're peasants, go back to work. No, the crowd that was crying out, crucify him, were the ones like Judas who went to the temple to get money to turn over Jesus. I believe that was a rent-a-mob. I believe they were paid money to say those words, to show Pilate, see the people? They're wanting him crucified. I believe they were bought and paid for by these same people who came to Jesus and said to him, if you're the Messiah, tell us. That's a trap. They want to catch him in perjury. Get it? They wanted to arrest him. And better than that, they wanted to destroy him and his flock. Because you see, if you're the Messiah, tell us. So then, if Jesus said, I am the Messiah, that's it. You have committed blasphemy. You will be stoned. Take him out and execute him. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, yes, I am the Messiah. He said in words like this, I told you, but you don't believe. What do you mean? The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. You don't believe me because you're not of my flock. The chapter ends not on this verse, but on a few verses later, which says the soldiers became very angry and the Pharisees, and they sought to take him out and stone him. But he left untouched. It wasn't time. He would die on a cross as the Paschal Lamb. It is said in history that Jesus died on that cross at the very moment when the lamb's neck was slit to be butchered there and put on the altar of the temple where the seam slit from top to bottom, all happening at one moment. The physical lamb's throat was slashed, the temple curtain was opened, and Jesus dies on the cross. See what's going on here? It is God showing the world during that earthquake and the darkness. Darkness is overcome, but for a short time. My son will rise. And he will be the victor. The victory lamb. Christ the victor. He is the Lamb of God. And he sacrificed himself on the cross. Others didn't. He gave his own life. You see, because Jesus and the Father are one. Yes, his mother, Mary, was at the foot of the cross. What a Mother's Day that must have been for her. Oh yes, Father, Son, and Mother. What about the Spirit? Ah, come to Bible class, because Romans chapter 8 refers to the Spirit and the work of the Spirit. Remember, it is Jesus himself who said, my Father, who has given them, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What a joy it is on this Mother's Day. What a joy it is to remember Jesus as the light of the world, who gave himself as the Lamb of God, who now is the shepherd in heaven, who watches over his flock even today. He, Jesus, will feed his flock with the word and the sacrament. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus the Christ. Amen.